ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे इज अ वेरी ऑस्पिशियस डे। इट इज द अपीयरेंस डे ऑफ श्रील वृंदावन दास ठाकुर, who is the author of a book named Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now it is called Bhagavat because it describes the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Sumedasa. That this particular incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how is he described? Krishna Varanam Tusha Akrishna. He is Krishna himself, but he doesn't have the bodily complexion as that of Krishna. That is, he doesn't have a dark complexion. He is golden. Sangopangastra Parshadam. And he has come along with his associates. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer. And he is to be worshipped through the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is the way in which we worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he advents in Kali Yuga. And he advented around 500 years ago. In Bengal. At that time, Bengal was ruled by Nawab Hussain Shah. So there was an Islamic rule in Bengal at that time. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adventured there. Somewhere around 1500 AD. Now, when we hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes people find it difficult to accept him as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. We hear about Lord Krishna, Lord Ramchandra, Narasingadev, and generally people don't have much difficulty in accepting them as a Supreme Personality of Godhead initially. But when a new person comes here and asks, who is on the left side of the altar? And devotees say, they are Gaur Nitai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself and Nityananda Prabhu is Balram. And they have advented in Kali Yuga for spreading of the holy names, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So there is a little bit of hesitation. Oh, really? Now, partially it is because he is not openly mentioned in the scriptures. He is mentioned secretly in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Mahabharat, in the Upanishads, and in some other Puranas as well. Why is he secretly mentioned? Because he has come in the form of his own devotee. Just to show people in Kali Yuga how to become a devotee of Krishna. How a devotee should act, how a devotee should behave, what should be his attitude, how should he lead his life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally demonstrated. So because he comes in the form of his own devotee, that is why he is secretly mentioned and not openly described in the Shastras. And also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he is openly said that the Lord is going to advent in Kali Yuga, any person will claim that he is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he is also an incarnation. Even though it is not openly mentioned that the Lord advents in Kali Yuga, so many people claim that they are incarnations. But what if it is openly mentioned? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent is secretly mentioned. But nonetheless, it is mentioned in the Shastras. Every incarnation, the name of his father, the name of his mother, and the place of his advent, it's all mentioned in the Shastras. It is very scientific. Another reason why one could find it difficult to accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the reason could be that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when you hear about his activities, it is very recent. When you hear about Krishna, when you hear about Lord Ramchandra, the people whom he associated with, for example, Lord Krishna, the Yadavas, or the Pandavas, they all seem equally remote as Lord Sri Krishna. Now, we don't see royal kings in today's world today. So, if you say that Krishna belonged to the Yadava dynasty and the Pandavas belonged to another dynasty and all of them were royal people, then okay, they all belong to the same category. So everything seems to be foreign to us. Krishna and the associates of Krishna, they all seem to be remote. But when you see of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see the Supreme Personality of Godhead surrounded by people whom we can understand and relate to. There is Nawab Hussain Shah, and even today there are many Hussain Shahs. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is interacting with people whose names are Mishras, Bhattacharyas. And it is contemporary history. 500 years ago, if you see historical textbooks, you will find that Maharaj Prataprudra ruled over Orissa. And there was Mughal government prevailing in Bengal. So it is contemporary history, only 500 years old, during the Mughal Empire over India. So when we come to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, it is set in a scene which is very familiar to us, which falls into a picture of contemporary modern history. So it becomes a mismatch for people, especially coming from a scientific background. Because when we hear about Krishna and Ram, we may not admit it openly, but somewhere in the background we feel that everything is mythological. Krishna is mythological and Pandavas are also mythological, Yadavas are also mythological. But when we hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said. But at the same time, he is surrounded by people who are real, so-called real. So he is amongst real people, whereas Krishna is himself mythological and is surrounded by mythological characters also. So this creates a little bit of difficulty in accepting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if you go deeper and do some psychoanalysis, Why is this difficulty arising? The reason is that we might hear about Krishna, we might hear about Lord Ramchandra, but because we have been brought up in a modern scientific educational system, somehow since our childhood, we are being brainwashed that whatever is spoken in the Puranas, it is mythology. So any person in India right now, because most of the people are brought up in the modern scientific educational, Western educational system, they might externally come to the temple, bow down in front of the Lord, and might even hear about Krishna and Lord Ramchandra and the various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, might even nod their heads, take prasad and go. But because one is brought up in the Western educational system, somewhere deep within, the thought remains that actually it is not so real. Actually, it is all mythology. Yadavas are mythology, Krishna is mythology. Mythology means non-real. These are all stories. The Mahabharata is a long story. And Ramayana is also a very nice long story. And all the Puranas are long stories. Somewhere it is brainwashed thoroughly. And we are exposed when we hear that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because our understanding of the Supreme Lord is as a mythological figure, but here is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's character set up in modern historical scenario. So it becomes a mismatch and people find it difficult to digest this fact. Why is it difficult to digest? Why? Because we have not totally accepted the Puranas and even the other incarnations of the Supreme Lord like Lord Krishna, Ram or Narasimhadev as real. We have not accepted it from the heart. All the credit goes to the British, the Indologists. They systematically misinterpreted the Puranas, saying that they are actually mythology. That means they are simply stories. At best, they are stories with some moral values to learn. So the idea was conveyed that, okay, just like the modern Indian Indologists also, because they have been brainwashed by the Western system, even when they speak about the Puranas, they speak with a lot of caution and try to cover up certain things. Krishna having 16,108 wives, how is it possible, they feel? So it is symbolic. So this is the problem. And so people find it difficult to accept it on face value that actually the Puranas are facts. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a real person and he did come on the planet 5000 years ago. And he belonged to a family called the Yadavas. And the Yadavas were the most powerful dynasty on the entire planet Earth at that time. So these are facts. And it was Srila Prabhupada who went to the West and then presented the very old knowledge of the Vedas in such a way as to prove to the people that actually these are facts and are to be taken on face value. And he presented them in a scientific way. They are not mythology, they are not stories, they are a science. This is the contribution of Prabhupada. Now, the main problems with historians in accepting that the Puranas are actual histories, there is no chronology. Or there is not, no exact date is given. If you see the histories of other parts of the world, they don't have histories from very long, but whatever histories or historical records they have, it is all dated and it is in chronological sequence. But when modern historians, when they attempt to study the Puranas, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. But when the modern historians, they try to study the Puranas of the Indian Vedic literatures from a historical perspective, they find face to face with a big challenge. Because the Puranas are notorious in not keeping dates at all. No dates absolutely. No chronology absolutely. Once there was a king, his name was Uttanapa, and his son was Dhruva, and the story begins. What date? Nothing is given. So it becomes very difficult. Looks like only stories are narrated from here and there. But what is the reason? That has to be understood also. Now, any history is presented, any history from in any part of the world is always biased when it is presented. So someone who is an agriculturist, when he presents the history of India, he presents it in terms of agriculture. At one point of time, so many varieties of rice were available. Maybe 1932, then 1955, so many varieties of rice were available. And then this was the system of irrigation that was employed. Then in 1988, 1990, etc. Now, there are so many events that took place in 1935, in 1945, 1950, 1955. But he won't speak all of that. He will simply speak in terms of rice, or in terms of agriculture, or in terms of irrigation and things like that. Why? Because he will be obviously biased in terms of his area of interest. So when we read the Puranas, that is history of ancient India, we should understand what was the interest of the people, or what was the interest of the people who went through these histories? What were they interested in? Or the people who compiled this history? What was their interest? Their interest was self-realization. And obviously, because their interest was self-realization, whatever had to do with self-realization, that was being presented. So, the histories of those kings who attained success in self-realization, their history is narrated. Or those kings who saw the Supreme Lord face to face, their history is narrated. As far as dates are concerned, there was least interest in dates. Why? Because the Vedic understanding, the Vedas give the understanding that time is cyclic. First comes Satyuga, then comes Dwapar Yuga, then Treta Yuga, Kali Yuga. Then again comes Satyuga, then comes Dwapar Yuga, Treta Yuga and Kali Yuga. So it goes in cycles. So when time goes in cycles, what is the relevance of sequence? What is the relevance of chronology? There is no relevance actually. It's like if I tell, on Saturday, on Monday, I went to school, I did so and so things, and then on Friday, I went for vacations and I did so and so things. Monday, I went to school and I did so and so things. Friday, I went vacation and did so and so things. Now, what is the point? Again, Monday, Monday, Friday, Friday. It is cyclic. What is the point in telling Monday again and again? What is the point in telling Friday again and again? It is ridiculous. So similarly, from the Vedic perspective, even any date is ridiculous. Because, for example, 2009 AD, 20th of April, it has come millions of times in history. In every cycle of four yugas, it has come again and again. So if someone writes history that I have given Bhagavad Gita class on 20th April 2009, of what consequence is that date? Because that date has appeared so many times. It makes no sense. So the Vedas or the Puranas, they are from time immemorial. They span over millions and billions of years, or thousands of four yuga cycles. So if you keep dates, what is the relevance? There is no relevance absolutely. Because so many Satyugas have appeared, so many Dwapar Yugas have appeared, Treta Yugas, Kali Yugas have appeared. So dating has no relevance when it comes to the Vedas or the Puranas. It is of no relevance absolutely. And the only important thing is how people attain perfection. That is the focal point. And that is being presented expertly. But when this understanding is lost, that in what perspective the Puranas are being compiled, why the Puranas exist, when that understanding is lost, then people find difficult understanding the Puranas. Accepting that the Puranas are actual history, they find it difficult to do that. So, without self-realization as the focal point, we cannot understand Puranas. Just like a person with no background of economics, even if he reads Economic Times from first line to the last line, what can he understand? He won't understand anything. He'll hear BSc Sensex, this Sensex, that Sensex. He can't make any sense out of it because he's not a student of economics. So similarly, the Indologists who came to India and later on academic scholars, when they try to learn the Vedas and the Puranas, they get very confused. It's actually bewildering to them. They feel that it is a storybook, unfortunately. That's okay, but the most unfortunate thing is small little children, innocent boys and girls who go to school and who put their complete faith in their teacher. Children, sometimes they find it difficult to accept certain things told by their parents. So the parents will say, ask your teacher whether it is correct or not. And when the student gets the confirmation of the teacher, he accepts. So much faith they have in their teacher. And these teachers, what are they teaching in their syllabus? These are all stories. The word is coined, mythology. Mythology means these are all stories. Myth means false. Some foolish people have written all these things because they didn't have anything to do. They learnt a very nice, complicated language simply to write some garbage. Now, Sanskrit is accepted as the most advanced language. One magazine, it documented that Sanskrit is the best language for programming. Because there is our language and then there is a language which the computer understands, which is binary language. Only 010101 they understand. Computer understands only 010. So there is, you have to convert this language into binary language. And the easiest language which can be converted to binary language is Sanskrit. because it is flawless, perfect language. So did people who wrote these Puranas and the Vedas in the most sophisticated, refined, poetic Sanskrit language learn and develop a very fantastic language simply to write garbage? How foolish the idea is. But this foolish idea is being propagated widely. And innocent children, they are being taught, who have complete trust in their teachers. And the teacher teaches them all this nonsense about the Vedas, the Puranas, etc., etc. How unfortunate the whole situation has become in today's world. And when these people grow up, when they read some scientific journal, they readily accept whatever is being given there. Things which are unbelievable, they readily accept it as fantastic facts. Some things which is unbelievable, they'll say, how fantastic it is. But when the same people read Puranas and they read something which is unbelievable, they don't tell that it is fantastic. They'll say it is unbelievable and it is mythology. Why? Because that is the educational system in which they have been brought up in. To think that whatever is spoken by the scientist is flawless and whatever is spoken in the Puranas, something has to be wrong with it. How can it be true? Scientists are not believing it. How can it be true? But the interesting thing is, some aspects of modern scientific research also comes to the aid of establishing Vedas as facts. I've got one interesting thing in this connection. According to the Vedas, that is Jyotisha Shastras, it is said that on 18th February 3102 BC, what happened? Seven planets were in alignment. The sun, the moon, they were all in one single line. So when there is an eclipse, when there are three bodies in a single line, for example, when the sun, moon, and the earth is in single alignment, it is called an eclipse. But here, seven were in alignment, and at that time, Kali Yuga set in. Now maybe a few years ago, if a person would read this information, he would have thought, another piece of garbage information. But now they've got astronomical softwares, programs which can actually calculate the position of stars and the alignment of different planets. And according to astronomical software also, it has been confirmed that on that particular date, the seven planets were in alignment. Well, there is good scientific advancement, but the point to be noted is the Vedas are flawless. Whatever they speak is absolute fact. And the Puranas are flawless and they are absolutely perfect. And the Purana speaks about the different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who adventured on this very planet thousands and thousands of years ago. And one of those incarnations, who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he adventured 500 years ago. So when we understand that everything is history, then it is not very difficult to understand that the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are also history, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though coming in the modern historical scenario, is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he writes the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his book, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he tells in detail how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started the congregational chanting, how he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, and how he propagated the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It is said in the Shastras, Kalau dosha nidhe rajan asti eko mahaguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param vrajet. Kaliyuga is an ocean of faults. Every grain of Kaliyuga is ingrained with faithlessness. Everything. Faithlessness is all pervading in Kaliyuga. So all pervading that even sometimes people who are well versed in the Shastras and who are trying to practice spiritual life also find doubts within their heart quite predominating many times. So that is a flaw of Kali Yuga. There is faithlessness everywhere. And in this ocean of faithlessness, to swim across this ocean of faithlessness is not an easy task. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he demonstrated a system. He demonstrated a lifestyle. He presented the method by which one can successfully swim across, swim against this current of faithlessness that is prevailing in Kali Yuga, which is actually something is impossible, something impossible. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching in the Western countries, he used to meet many clergymen or high priests in other religions. And after their meetings, these clergymen and many of these priests, in one instance, a priest secretly asked Srila Prabhupada, "Do you really believe that God exists?" Now he is supposed to be the head of an institution which is speaking about God. But Kali Yuga is such a degraded age that even people who are so-called leaders of religion, they seriously doubt the existence of God even. But Srila Prabhupada, being the empowered representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he propagated a system by which one can successfully swim across, swim against this ocean of faithlessness in Kali Yuga. In the preface of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes that simply by studying this literature, one can not only be convinced of the existence of God, but the person will be so convinced that he can convince others of his existence. Simply by studying this one literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. What confidence by the author. In the preface he is telling, person will not only be convinced in Kali Yuga, he is telling the impossible is going to become possible. A person will be fully convinced about God to the extent that he can convert others into thieves as well. And we see time has shown that Prabhupada wasn't just speaking. Devotees who have actually followed the system given by Srila Prabhupada are now in a position to convert others into God consciousness. It is happening today, which proves what Prabhupada is presenting is a fact. Now that ISKCON has gone through three, four decades of existence, we have proofs of what Prabhupada is speaking in his purports. If it had been very recent, maybe 5-6 years ago Prabhupada is writing, you might wonder whether it will really work or not. But today, decades have passed and experiments are giving results as well. If you consider it as an experiment, it is giving results. And we can actually see what Prabhupada is speaking is fact. People's lives are transformed. People have become God conscious. People have successfully swam against the current of faithlessness in Kali Yuga. The impossible is becoming possible. The proof is in front of us. So we are more fortunate having been introduced into this philosophy after a few decades of Srila Prabhupada starting the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So yes, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if one follows this system, one can not only understand that God is a real person, he incarnated in his various incarnations, and all these are documented in these Puranas. And we ourselves can also be part of all these stories. And we can also directly associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his pastimes. It is possible. I remember when I was in school, I used to watch Wimbledon tennis tournaments on the television. Along with my elder sister, we used to watch. And on one particular day, generally it used to be quarterfinals or semifinals, there would be no live relay by Doordarshan. Why? Because on that particular day, there used to be car festival in Puri. So only car festival used to be shown on television. And we used to miss our quarterfinals or semifinals because there was no Star TV at that time. No ESPN or Star Sports. So we used to think, what is this card festival? We can't see anything here. Only few people are here and there. And most of the time it is raining there. And that is being telecasted live. What has happened to this Doordarshan? Because we are not educated in the spiritual science. We fail to recognize the importance of this Rath Yatra festival in Jagannath Puri. So we used to speak in this way. But years passed, and Prabhupada's magic acted upon me. And after many years, one fine day, I called up my sister. And I asked her, do you remember? At one point of time, both of us used to watch Wimbledon match together, and sometimes we used to wonder, what is this going on in television about Rath Yatra at Jagannath Puri? She said, yes, yes, yes. And I told her, I am at Jagannath Puri now. And she was wondering, what happened now, suddenly? And then years passed. And one day, both of us were at Jagannath Puri. So this is the power of Srila Prabhupada. We understand what is spirituality, what is spiritual culture, what is truly Indian culture. And we understand that it is practical, it is scientific. It is not mythology, it is science. More scientific than modern science also. Most of modern science is bluff actually. Most of it is manipulated. But spiritual science is as it is. Presented by individuals of spotless character who have no cheating propensities. The acharyas, they present the Vedic knowledge in a spotless way. They've got no ulterior motivations at all. So the Vedas and the Puranas are more reliable and are more scientific than any scientific textbook or any scientific journal as well. And one can understand it simply by studying thoroughly and scrutinizingly Srila Prabhupada's books. Thank you very much. Any questions? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.